court proceed to the fifth case, In Re Globe Building Materials. Mr. Braun.
Morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
The bankruptcy trustee in this case contends that he can avoid the state's wage lien under 545(2) of the bankruptcy code. So he's not going to pay the former employee's wages that are secured by that lien. Section 545(2) of the bankruptcy code gives the trustee the rights of a hypothetical bona fide purchaser, or BFP, as of the date the bankruptcy petition is filed. It's a very powerful tool in his collection arsenal. 3 years ago, this court decided another Wisconsin wage liens case, AR Accessories, cited in our materials. One of the things decided in AR Accessories was that the Wisconsin wage lien statute met the requirements of 546B1A of the Bankruptcy Code. That holding is critical to this case because if the wage lien statute qualifies, and AR Accessories says that it does, then the trustee's rights and avoiding powers under 544, 545, and 549 of the Bankruptcy Code become subject to the wage lien. That's what 546B1 says. That's the plain meaning, the plain reading of the statute. Subject to, we know, means subordinate to. The result is the trustee's avoiding powers are subordinate to the wage lien. The lien prevails, and the former employees get paid. Pretty simple up to this point. The trustee argues, however, that simply qualifying for 546B1A is not enough. That's only part one of a two-part test. The second part is that even though you qualified, and even though the language makes the avoiding power subordinate to the wage lien, you still have to analyze the lien to see if it could defeat a bona fide purchaser. Nothing in 546B1 speaks about a two-prong test. Nothing in 546B1 says the trustee's avoiding powers are subject to the lien only if or to the extent the lien can defeat a bona fide purchaser. The trustee cites no case authority on point to support his two-prong test argument. All 546B1A requires is that the lien in question is able to defeat an entity with a prior right in the property, a priming lien, in effect. AR held that the Wisconsin wage lien is a priming lien. It can defeat previously perfected or acquired rights in property. It meets the only test set up by 546. 546B1A doesn't say what prior right or property right must be defeated in order for the lien to qualify. It could be a judicial lien. It could be a mortgage. It could be a statutory lien. It could be a bona fide purchaser. But it doesn't have to be all of those. It only needs to be one. And then it qualifies, and then it subordinates the trustee's avoiding powers. It subordinates all of the trustees' avoiding powers under all three sections, 544, 545, and 549. Again, the lien prevails, the employees get paid. There's a second reason that AR Accessories controls this case. In AR, this court made three critical decisions. First, that the wage lien is created when the services are performed. When an employee performs services, he's entitled to get paid. In both cases, that happened before the bankruptcy petition was filed. Secondly, although the lien is created pre-petition, we can perfect it post-petition. We've got to file some papers and do some serving and stuff. We can do that post-petition, notwithstanding the bankruptcy stay order, because we're within one of the exceptions. The third thing decided by AR is that once perfected, because it is a priming lien, the perfection relates back to the date the lien was created, pre-petition. Recall that the trustee's rights don't commence until the petition is filed. So using those three holdings in AR accessories, what we have is a wage lien that is created pre-petition. It is deemed perfected pre-petition. And that all happens before the trustee acquires his rights as a bona fide purchaser. Again, based on the holding in AR accessories, the wage lien prevails, the employees get paid. The trustee would have this court believe that the state of Wisconsin doesn't like the idea of comity, or that this case is really about substantive state law determining property rights. It's not. The trustee is not a real BFP. Under the facts of this case, our lien was perfected before the assets were sold. He couldn't be a real BFP. Wisconsin law doesn't provide for a hypothetical BFP. The bankruptcy code does.
I don't think there is such thing as a hypothetical BFP. Either he is or he isn't. The statute is fairly clear that he is in the position of a BFP, isn't it?
He is. They call him a hypothetical BFP. I think that's bankruptcy parlance, Judge, for the fact that he really isn't one. He is granted that status by the bankruptcy code. But that status is not unlimited, and that's a big part of our argument here. One of the limitations is if you have a lien, such as our wage lien, that meets the requirements of 546B1, then the trustee's powers, avoiding powers, including those under 545-2, go away. They become subordinate to the wage lien. And that's exactly what we have in this case. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Roberts?
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Peter Roberts, and I represent the bankruptcy trustee in Globe Building Materials, Gordon Kavaya. I'd like to start my remarks by clearing up what I think was a misconception that arose with the introductory remarks of the counsel for the state of Wisconsin. And I think it's important to make this clear. Just because the wage lien is being avoided doesn't mean that the employees who have wage claims against the Globe Estate aren't entitled under their other sections of the bankruptcy code to proceed with their claims in order to get paid. Regardless of whether or not this wage lien is avoided, there are still rights that all of those employees have under Section 507 of the code and the requisite priorities as stated in that section in order to have their claims heard. And they have, under the bankruptcy code, a limited priority. So I just wanted to alleviate what I think was a misconception. As both parties acknowledge, however, in this appeal, there's a very discrete legal issue. And the legal issue is whether or not the trustee's power to avoid a statutory lien under Section 545 of the Bankruptcy Code is automatically eliminated if the statutory lien in question arose from an otherwise applicable law that fits the paradigm of Section 546 of the Bankruptcy Code. The answer, as both courts below found, is that it doesn't. Section 546 might be a limitation upon the trustee's power to avoid statutory liens, but it's not an exception. The court has to go an extra step to find out what the actual effect is of a delayed perfection permitted under Section 546, to find out whether or not the statutory lien, as subsequently perfected, can trump the rights of a BFP. And if it can't under applicable law, then the trustee can proceed under Section 545 and avoid statutory lien. The state of Wisconsin misconstrues Section 546 and they exaggerate its impact upon the trustee's power to avoid statutory liens under Section 545. Through both of those sections, 545 and 546, what Congress did is really defer the ultimate issue on the avoidability of statutory liens to state law. 545 permits the trustee, as a general rule, to avoid statutory liens to the extent they're unenforceable by a BFP under applicable law. 546 admittedly tempers that avoidance power by making it subject to any other applicable state law that permits a delayed perfection of the statutory lien. However, the analysis doesn't end there. The court needs to take a look at the actual effect of delayed perfection upon the statutory lien. Nothing in that statute, Section 546, provides for an automatic exception to the trustee's avoidance power under Section 545. In the context of this case, applicable Wisconsin law doesn't permit the state's wage lien to trump a BFP, even if it's subsequently perfected. So as the lower courts found, that wage lien statute does confer a limited super priority over other competing liens, but it's still unenforceable against a BFP under Wisconsin law. It doesn't relate back in time like a mechanics lien or a construction lien, and its super priority is limited in scope. Therefore, the state's wage lien was appropriately perfected after Globe filed its bankruptcy. However, even with that perfection, it was nevertheless still subject to the rights of a BFP and therefore was susceptible of avoidance by the trustee as a hypothetical BFP under Section 545 of the Bankruptcy Code. Now, the state's contrary argument begins and ends with this court's prior decision in AR Accessories. But AR Accessories doesn't control this case. It only dealt with the limited question of whether or not the wage lien was an applicable state law for purposes of Section 546 and the applicable automatic stay exception of Section 362 of the Code. It arose in that context, and it neither addressed nor even mentioned Section 545 of the Bankruptcy Code and the trustee's avoidance power under Section 545. Therefore, this court in the AR Accessories case was never required to examine the actual effect that the delayed perfection of a wage lien has upon the rights of a BFP under Wisconsin law. What the lower courts did in this case is they followed AR Accessories, and they acknowledged that the wage lien in question in this case could be and was appropriately perfected after the Globe petition date in accordance with Wisconsin law and the holding in AR Accessories. But then they went that extra step that wasn't at issue in AR Accessories, and they took a look at what the actual effect was of that wage lien as perfected under Wisconsin law, and they determined that even with that delayed perfection, it was still inferior to the trustee's avoidance power as a hypothetical BFP. And that conclusion and that analysis under Wisconsin law has never been challenged by the state. It's simply been dismissed as being irrelevant. But let me take this opportunity to also address a few of the specific points made by the state. First, regarding the state's construction of Section 546, there is a clear misreading of Section 546 by the state. The plain language of Section 546 states that a trustee's powers under Section 545 are subject to any generally applicable law that permits a delayed perfection. The state continually misreads Section 546 as if its lien were the direct object of that subject to language. In other words, they read Section 546 as if it says that a trustee's powers under Section 545 were subject to any statutory lien arising from a generally applicable law that permits delayed perfection. But the plain language of the statute doesn't support that construction. The Section 545 avoidance power is subject to state laws that permit delayed perfection, but it's not subject to liens arising from state laws unless the delayed perfection also acts to defeat the rights of a BFP. Another point I'd like to address is the contention that this wage lien related back in time. That is a myth, and it's also not supported by the holding in AR accessories. With no authority whatsoever, the state implies that the wage lien statute should relate back in time to defeat the rights of the trustee as a hypothetical BFP. The wage lien statute doesn't provide for any sort of relation back. It only provides for a limited super priority. The two things aren't the same. What this court in AR accessories did decide is that even though the wage lien statute didn't have any express relation back statute and simply acted as a priming lien, it still fit within the paradigm of Section 546, and therefore its perfection could be permitted under Section 362. But nowhere in that decision did this court also say that the wage lien statute does indeed relate back to a previous point in time. In the end, the wage lien in this case is analogous to the Texas property tax liens that both the Fifth and the Ninth Circuits dealt with in the Bourne Hills and the America West cases that are cited in the trustee's brief. Even though those liens could be properly perfected after the bankruptcy and thereby acquire some sort of super priority over competing liens, they were still inferior to the trustee's avoidance power as a hypothetical BFP. The reason is because the state legislatures in Texas in those two cases and in Wisconsin in this case didn't imbue those particular statutes with the power to create a super priority over bona fide purchasers. And unless there is that power, or unless it relates back in time, the trustee's avoidance power should prevail. I mean, this wage lien statute isn't like a typical mechanics lien or construction lien that relates back in time and by virtue of that relation back would defeat a BFP. Simply not the case. So unless there are any questions, let me conclude by emphasizing the deference that Congress showed to the states on the issue of statutory lien avoidability under Sections 545 and 546. These statutes are reflective of state law comity, and for the reasons articulated in our brief, the court should decline the invitation to view them any other way, and the orders of the bankruptcy court and the district court should be affirmed accordingly.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Mr. Braun.
Is pretty clear, 546B1. The rights and powers of a trustee under Sections 545 of this title are subject to any generally applicable law that, and then sub A. And that's what AR accessories found, that our wage lien statute fit A. If it fits A, those avoiding powers become subject to. That's it. There is no second test. And the trustee cites no authority for that. The Bourne and the Texas tax case, there are two of them, are distinguishable from our case because there the Texas legislature said that the tax lien was subservient or junior to or couldn't defeat a bona fide purchaser. Our statute doesn't say that. Our statute's silent on that. And so we go through the analysis under 546B1. Our statute doesn't say that it relates back to a specific point in time, but what the court decided in AR, and it had to, was that it was created pre-petition because you need a pre-petition interest. It was perfected post-petition, and then that related back in effect. That's the nature of a priming lien or a super priority lien. This is not a super priority lien. It's a priming lien. It automatically relates back. It would be ironic. In AR accessories, our lien primed, defeated the liens of three major lenders that had been of record for years before the bankruptcy was filed. And yet our lien in this case can't defeat the subsequently acquired rights of the bankruptcy trustee, acquired when the petition is actually filed. That's all I have, unless there are some questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Braun.
Thank you.
Mr. Roberts, the case is taken under advisement.